Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. The more that I study and get into the thoughts that have begun to really permeate my thinking concerning the Word of God and how that we, by the amazing providence of God, have a reliable source of His Word, the Bible. It's one thing to say that we believe there's a God. It's another thing to say very specifically, I believe that there is a living Creator that has forever reigned, and that He now and will forever reign, and that He has spoken. And that's where it really begins to get interesting. As you and I begin to debate and conversate with people concerning God, there are many positions on what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks and months. Has God spoken? Well, most that believe in a living Lord would say yes, God has spoken. Has God, for the time being, said all that He's going to say? Now, that's an open discussion these days. That's an oft-held debate. You will hear many a man, and now women, to say, God has spoken to me. God has revealed this or that to me. You will hear some institutions that will say, the Bible's good, but I have another book, or I have more. How do we logically defend the position that the Bible is the completed Word of God? And how do we logically defend the position that God is done speaking? And we have it in the 66 books. 39 in the Old and 27 in the New. And I want to help you get there. I will confess to you that I have never taken the time to study this like I've studied it in the last couple of months. And the more that I get into it, the more that I see the need of it. So we're going to take a lot of time, Lord willing, with this. And again, I've asked you to take pen and paper, to take notes. I request that you not only take notes, but you ask questions. Write down your questions and ask them. Because iron sharpens iron, and you all ask some of the best questions of any group I've ever been in. And so Hebrews chapter 1 has been our launching pad now for a while. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And as you know, and we've talked about, that covers the Old Testament. That is the Old Testament. God speaking in diverse or various manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. We're going to look at that tonight, how that Moses, being the fountainhead of the Old Testament, everything seems to flow out of the writings of Moses. And the Lord, while on this earth, quoted from Moses and validates Moses. And how that that's going to be very critical in understanding as we begin to try to make sense of, do I have a completed Bible when I look at Genesis to Revelation? And I want you to be able to, with a good degree of understanding, say, yeah, I do. And here's why. So God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, that's a key phrase, these last days. There was something that went on in the Old Testament, and it's a completed revelation of God up to that point. And He promised, as He closed out the Old Testament, there's something coming. the last days here spoken of, hath in these last days spoken us unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we've looked at these verses and we've shown through the scripture how that God did in diverse manners. We read how that he revealed to Isaiah, the vision of Isaiah. We read where Jeremiah said, "You put words in my mouth." We read from 2 Peter that reminds us that holy men of God spake as they were moved or borne along by the Holy Spirit. That's how we came to have our Old Testament. We looked at the fact that God said that he would preserve his word, that he would keep his word from this generation forever. We began to look at how that would happen as the Old Testament priests were to take the word of God that they had, the word of Moses at that time, and deposit it into the Ark of the Covenant. And how that the priests had instruction to take the word of God and read it before men, women, and children. Keep it before them and keep the word. So scribes were employed to copy the word of God. We looked at Matthew, and here's where I want to pick up. We looked at Matthew chapter 4. The more that I study, I realize that I did not grasp the importance of Moses in the Old Testament. Yes, I understand that he's a type of Christ. But when you begin to see that it is through the writings of Moses, and we have his writings, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. The rest of the Old Testament is either explaining the Pentateuch or calling men back to obey the Pentateuch. The whole Old Testament revolves around the Pentateuch. The whole Old Testament sets on the foundation of the Pentateuch, the writings of Moses. And when the Lord here is having this discussion with Satan himself, he says in chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 10, he said, "It is written." And he quotes Moses. I made a point of this last week. He quotes Moses. Anything that would have come out of the Lord's lips is the word of God by definition. And yet, he quotes Moses. That's phenomenal to me that he takes the words of Moses and he takes them and he raises them then to a level of his own words, because the words that we have of Moses are inspired words. Moses was moved by the Holy Spirit to say what he said and write down what he said here. And what is recorded for us is not the whim of man, Peter tells us, but it is the working of the Spirit of God. And so Christ, when he quotes Moses, not only raises the value of the writings of Moses, but he validates. He says, "It's anything I could have said, Moses said it." And that's what he throws back at Satan. That's phenomenal to me. All right. So, let's go to Malachi. Let's go to the end of the Old Testament. Let's go to Malachi chapter 4. And I want to begin to develop in your thinking the realization that the Old Testament was complete. But there was an expectation of more to come. The Old Testament was a complete revelation of God as far as it went. But there was more to come. Malachi 4:4. And by the way, I checked and I looked in the Rees Chronological Bible, and chronologically, Malachi is at the very end of the Old Testament. It's not only just physically at the end of our Old Testament, the way it's laid out, but chronologically, it's the last one to be recorded. And no doubt that's why it is where it is in the Bible, because the Old Testament's not necessarily given to us and laid out for us in a strictly chronological fashion. We saw that when we went through the Bible survey. But this is the end of the Old Testament, both chronologically and literally. Now he says in Malachi 4:4, "Remember ye the law of Moses." Moses, you see, just keeps popping up. "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments." So verse 4, as Malachi is signing off, so to speak, remember how Malachi starts, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. These aren't the thoughts of Malachi. These are the words of the Lord given to Malachi. Malachi is recording what the Lord has instructed him to record. And he says, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant," the Lord's servant. And he takes him back and he says, "Live the Pentateuch." David, when he writes about the law, that he loved the law, that he was joyful in the law, that the law was a lamp unto his feet. Probably all he had was the Pentateuch. And so here, Malachi is writing this about 400 years before Christ comes onto the scene. And just as he's signing off, he says, in the voice of the Lord, "Remember Moses, the law of Moses, my servant." Stay with it. Keep on keeping on in that truth. Now, verse 5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So I want you to notice what you hold in your hands right now, if you're holding your Bible. You have at the beginning, after the table of contents, you have Genesis, writings of Moses, Exodus, the giving of the law to Moses, Leviticus, a lot of the ceremonial law, the sacrificial law, and so on. So the Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, because a new generation had come onto the scene. Now, you have the beginning of the name of human history and the history of the nation of Israel. And at the end of the Old Testament, he says, "Now go back and remember all of that and live it." Don't, the word "remember" in the Hebrew has to do with keeping it, obeying it. You don't just know it, but you live it. And so you see a completeness from Genesis 1:1, recorded by Moses, to Malachi 4:4. Keep the words of Moses. There's a completeness there, but a completeness with expectation of more in verse 5. "I'll send you Elijah." Now, that's where it gets interesting. Look with me in Luke chapter 1. So meanwhile, they're waiting, right? They're waiting. Malachi and his generation die off, and they're waiting. And Malachi's children's generation die off, and they're waiting. They're waiting 100, 200, 300 years, 400 years before John the Baptist. Look in Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. Look at verse 17 with me very carefully. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. That's the New Testament rendering of the Greek word equal to Elijah. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, literally. You see, the last promise that Malachi was given by the Lord, after keep on keeping on, was that I'm going to send you another Elijah. And just so we're very, very clear about this, Luke tells us there's one coming. Luke records the angel of the Lord telling Zacharias, you're going to have a son, he's going to have the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, look at Matthew 17, and let's make this very clear. We don't have to wonder. Matthew chapter 17 will tie it all together for us very clearly. And verses 10 through 13. Again, the writing here, the translation from the Greek is translated into the word Elias. I'm going to read Elijah because that's who we're talking about. Matthew 17, 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come, or Elijah must first come? Now, you understand what's going on here? The scribes. Think about it. You know who the scribes are. The scribes are copying the Old Testament. The scribes are writing word for word, thought, I don't even want to say thought for thought, because it's not. It's word for word. Commas and periods, everything. The scribes are copying exactly. Counting every Greek character, or the Hebrew, if they're a Hebrew scribe. They're counting every word or letter on the page. And they're copying. And they come across as they're writing Malachi, and they say, Elijah is the next thing on God's timetable. But Elijah already lived. Wonder what God was talking about. But they could read Malachi say, the next thing is Elijah coming. And so the disciples asked Jesus, Why then say the scribes, those that copy the word of God, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall the Son of Man suffer them. And the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. This one promised in Malachi, the coming of Elijah, Jesus explained to them, he's come. The one with the spirit and power of Elijah, he's come. He's John the Baptist. Now, who's John the Baptist? Well, he's the one heralding Christ is here. Emmanuel is here. The Lamb of God is here. And so no one would miss the entrance of the coming Messiah, the one who's been promised for 4,000 years. The one who has been promised, we see all the way back in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman shall come and bruise the head of the serpent. The one who Isaiah says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The one who the prophets say, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. So that no one will miss that, John the Baptist is heralding, he's here. He's here. He's here. And everybody that understood the Old Testament said, wait a minute. That's what Malachi promised would be the next thing on God's timetable. That's the next thing on God's calendar. The Old Testament had a sense of completeness, but an expectation of something more. And that something more was Christ. And so that you won't miss Christ, here's John the Baptist to say, here he is. The ministry of John the Baptist was only 6 months or so. And then he lost his head to Herod. So he had a very brief ministry, but his ministry was one of a God-called purpose. And that was to announce the coming of Christ. Now look at Deuteronomy 13. Remember the importance of Moses. Remember the fact that we have to have a logical completion to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. In Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4. If there arise among you, I'll wait till everybody gets there. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass. So you have a prophet, a preacher. You have someone come onto the scene. And he says thus and thus, and he even seems to be able to validate it, even seems to be able to back it up. The sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. So now you know he's false. He's calling folks after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you or testeth you to know whither ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. So the Old Testament has this sense of completion. And Moses records the words of the Lord where he says, if anybody comes and preaches anything that leads you away from God, mark it down, he's a false prophet. Moses gives us here the litmus test on what is sacred writings. Moses gives us here the litmus test on what is the Word of God. If it points to Christ, it's the Word of God. If it points you away from Christ and leads you away from Christ, stay away from it. It's not it. So, down through the ages, if tradition is correct, and Ezra arranged the original Old Testament, Ezra is taking the writings of Moses and he's taking the writings of the prophets and he says, look, these point to Christ. These stay. These other writings, well, they might be interesting history. They might be this, that, or the other thing. Or they might be just flat heresy. They don't stay. And if tradition is correct and Ezra is the one that compiled the Jewish Old Testament, like the sheets I passed out to you, the 24 books, he was largely the one that helped preserve for us today the Old Testament scriptures. And Moses has given the litmus test on what is Scripture, if it points to Christ, because the whole Bible is about Christ. Now, go over to Deuteronomy 18. And remember, the importance of Moses here just keeps coming up. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. Remember how much Moses has done. Moses' words, the foundation of the Old Testament. Moses says this: "The Lord thy God will raise unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." Now understand what is being said. Understand the importance of Moses as the foundation of the whole Old Testament. Understand that it is from the writings of Moses that every preacher from there on either explains or calls men back to obedience to the writings of Moses. And he said, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me." There's going to be a new version of me sometime down the road. He's going to raise up this prophet. Now Christ is he's infinitely greater than Moses. But Christ is the New Testament equivalent, if you'll let me use that, qualified. He's the New Testament equivalent to Moses, because in the New Testament, it is all the words of Christ. And all the apostles from that point on are either explaining Christ or calling men back to Christ. But Christ is the New Testament fulfillment of Moses, the type. And when you have in the Old Testament the completeness, as described by the Old Testament, all points to God, all points to Christ specifically. And you get to Malachi, chronologically the end of the book, and he said, "Now you listen to Moses. Keep on keeping on to Moses." And the next thing on the timetable is one we'll call Elijah. And then we read how that John the Baptist was the one with the spirit and power of Elijah. And his job was to point to Christ. His job was to make sure no one missed Christ. Now, again, while Christ was on this earth, he helped us to understand that the Old Testament was complete as well. And again, turn with me to Luke 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Remember earlier in the chapter, Christ, in verse 27, he began at Moses and through all the prophets expounded unto them all the scriptures of the things concerning himself. Jesus Christ took the Old Testament and taught himself from it. Verse 44, the Lord says, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Now, you understand, and I pointed this out last week, the three sections of the Jewish Old Testament would be the law of Moses, the prophets, and the writings. And the Psalms are the first book of the writings and the largest book of the writings. And Jesus just said that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms concerning me. Now, if he said that all things must be fulfilled, there must be a defined location of where to find these things. If there's an all things that they're looking to see fulfilled, where do I look? Do I look in the writings of Josephus? No. Interesting history. Tremendous Jewish history. But not Scripture. Do I look in the Apocrypha? Definitely not. There might be some interesting things in the Apocrypha. They might fill in some Jewish history. There are also things in the Apocrypha that are quite anti-Old Testament as we know it. So you take the litmus test of Moses, and it says, point you to other gods, throw it away. Where do I find the things which are to be fulfilled? Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, or the writings. The three categories of the Jewish Old Testament, exactly the same content that we have in our Old Testament, arranged a little differently after the translation. So we have, I believe, a very logical understanding that the Old Testament is a complete revelation to its point, expecting that something was coming after that, and that was Christ. And the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist. Now John 1. And we'll close. There's where we'll make the transition. I've been trying to make the case that the Old Testament was complete. And you can see thus by just looking, right, by logically analyzing the content of the Old Testament. Next, we will turn to making the argument that the New Testament is complete, and the new put together with the old make the complete revelation of God. Let's look at this again. Remember Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, you have in various ways, in times past, God spake unto us by the prophets. Verse 1. Paraphrased. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by Christ. You have that division, you have that completeness. Look at John 1 and think about that. In the beginning was the Word. Boy, doesn't that sound like Genesis. In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I submit unto you, I see in that the Old Testament. I see creation in verse 1. I see Christ being in the beginning. He's same in the beginning with God, was God. Creator God, verse 3. He was the light and life of men, but they didn't see it. Now verse 6 begins the beginning of the Old Testament, or the New Testament. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. See, there's a completeness, and now a transition. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, that is John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So we have two parts, an old and a new. There was never intended to be an old, a new, and then a newer. Another newer revelation or revision. There was the old that was completely preparatory for the new. The old was complete. Malachi gives us that indication and says, now the next thing to come, we'll paraphrase it with all the cross references, John the Baptist, because he's the one going to point out the Messiah, the Savior. And so, the Lord willing, we'll begin to try to make the case, I think logically and biblically, that the New Testament we can have confidence. It is the completed revelation of Christ. Christ is God's final word. No one has to come beyond the Word. No one could further what Christ has said. Now, the apostles explained it, and they were the historians that documented it, but no one could be offered as a greater than Christ. Christ is the final revelation of God. So you have the Old Testament that points to Christ, the New Testament that reveals and explains Christ. And we'll leave you with that thought. Let's pray.